Hello, this is Horace Williams Jr. of the PleasingToThePod.com podcast. Happy Easter weekend. Hope you have been enjoying the days and weeks leading up to Easter. Maybe some of you listening observed Passover. Shout out to you as well. I have been praying and wondering what I wanted to share. I knew I wanted to share and wanted to write something. Easter is probably one of the most meaningful holidays for myself. That along with Christmas, but for different reasons. Less to do with the gift giving than the coming of Jesus being born as a baby. But Easter is very special to me. I tend to get quite emotional, especially on Good Friday, and we're doing the Lord's Supper and things of that nature. So I'm going to share why Easter means a lot to me, but I'm going to read some favorite scripture passages about Easter and the days leading up to Easter. And I was deciding where to, so I chose the book of Luke. Luke was a physician, so he's very detailed and technical. But also, he was a Gentile, or he was a non-Jew. And yet, he was ordained by God to share the events of what took place in Jesus' ministry and birth and everything. Going all the way back to Luke 2, I love the Christmas story of reading Luke 1 and 2 in the beginning. But anyway, starting in Luke chapter 22, and I'm in the 20s. I was going to start in verse 29, but I want to share something with you leading up to 29. But Jesus had implored the disciples to prepare for Passover, and they were going to have a dinner together. And so they're dining together, and this is when Jesus is beginning to make the disciples aware of what was going to be taking place in the coming days. Okay, so here we go. So this is Luke 22, and this is verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Basically, it's like a chalice or cup that they all shared. And Jesus was saying he wasn't going to partake of it until all the prophecies had been fulfilled, which meant his sacrifice. And then he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Basically, it's not the bread like we think of, like loaves of bread. It's almost like first of all, it's unleavened bread, so it's almost like a cracker. Or it's very thin. Sometimes it cracks. Sometimes you can tear it. But basically, he was saying it represented his body was about to be broken or sacrificed for everybody. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Again, get this. "But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table." "But woe to that man who betrays him!" Exclamation point. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. Can you imagine the scene? Jesus basically said, "One of you sitting here is going to betray me." And what's funny is, this is what happened. So they're wondering. Then a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be considered the greatest. So how do we go from Jesus saying someone at this table is going to betray me, and now they're arguing among themselves of who's the greatest disciple? And so Jesus, of course, rebukes him and reminds him about their pride and then he even says to Peter in verse 31 of Luke 22, he says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat." And so basically, Satan wants to test the disciples. But Jesus said, "I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." So then this is Peter's response. But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." So, you know, Peter's, you know, a lot of times speaks before he thinks. Jesus answered, verse 34, "Peter, before the rooster crows today, you would deny me three times that you even know me." So that's still Luke 22. Now I'm going to come down to verse 39. This is basically after they've left the dinner, the supper. "Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you will not fall into temptation.' He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.' And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him." I want to stop right there, really focus on that, because I've written a book about the power of prayer. I cannot impress upon you more how important it is to pray God's will be done. It's so easy to bring our requests and our concerns, and there's nothing wrong with that. But basically, that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, "Can you remove this cup from me?" So Jesus put his request out there before God, but he also said, "But I pray that your will be done." So that shows a tremendous amount of trust right then and there. And we as Christians need to do the same thing. Is whatever we're praying for, whatever we're dealing with, whatever we're facing, that trust God enough to ask that his will be done, knowing and believing that he loves us and he wants what is best for us. So after that, angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, talking about Jesus, he prayed even more earnestly, and the sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Wow. So then Jesus rose from prayer and went back to the disciples. He found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." So that's the second time Jesus has warned them about the power of prayer and falling into temptation. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered them, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed them. You know, I find this fascinating right here. Like, here they're coming to arrest Jesus. And in the midst of all that, he heals this man's ear that's just been cut off. And yet they still proceed with arresting him. So just tells you how far you can go or far you can stray once you allow the enemy to rule your thoughts and your ideas and your perception of things. Whew, okay. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Now, speaking of the devil, darkness. Then seizing him, this is verse 54 of Luke 22. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. Why was he at a distance? I wonder why. I'll talk about that later. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. Interesting. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Can you imagine that? Especially when their eyes met, Peter and Jesus, after that rooster crowed. Ugh. Gives me chills just thinking about it. It's crazy. So I'm going to take a break and come back. And we're going to... That was actually the first part. Talked about the perfect son. Going to come back. Going to talk about the perfect sacrifice. So that's Luke 22. I want to read one more thing here. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. Okay, I'm going to pause. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Welcome to PleasingToThePod.com podcast. I'm your host, Horace Williams Jr. Doing a bit of an Easter celebration podcast today. So currently I'm reading from Luke 22 to kind of remind you and encourage you why Easter is so special to me. So Jesus has been arrested, taken before the leadership council. Now he's before Pilate. Okay, so here we go, and I'm going to say, start in verse 66. This is after Peter had denied Jesus, and their eyes met, and Peter ran out weeping. So at daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me, and if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." So, of course, they're being very sarcastic at this point. But so now we jump to verse 23, continuation. Okay. So then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So which was not true as far as opposes payment of taxes. So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priest and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. We learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction. He sent him to Herod. So, of course, Pilate's wanting to pass the buck. Probably doesn't have anything to do with this. He was basically the Roman leadership put in charge of manning the Jews in that area. So he went from Pilate, went to Herod. Then Herod basically sent him back to Pilate because Of course, now Herod doesn't want to do anything to do with this as well. So now Jesus is back in front of Pilate. This is verse 13 of Luke 23. Pilate called together chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wow, so they're basically want rather them release this murderer than Jesus. Can you believe that? Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they had asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. Now we're in verse 26 of Luke 23. As the soldiers led Jesus away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who had mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And the soldiers divided up his clothes by casting lots. So basically, as he's hanging on the cross, they were gambling to see who could get Jesus' clothing. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar, and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was written a notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Woo! Can't think of any sweeter words to hear than that from Jesus' lips. Now we're in verse 44 of Luke 23. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. For the sun stopped shining. Wow, look at that, was freaking everybody out. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Talking about perfect sacrifice. Now I want to focus on verse 44 and talk about, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. That was basically, Jesus was a perfect sacrifice. The Holy of Holies was no longer separate, where only the priests could go in there. Basically, now when we accept this free gift, this perfect gift of salvation, we have access to the God. We have access to the our Heavenly Father. So that was a symbolism of that huge veil which kept everyone out of the Holy of Holies except for the priests that could make sacrifices and make requests for forgiveness for the Jews and everyone at that time. That veil was torn in two. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Now, I've seen the other versions. This is the NIV, but where he said, "Surely this was the Son of God." When all the people had gathered to witness this sight, saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But that's interesting. So they still had pride, despite everything that was taking place. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. The distant thing, it's interesting to me, because the second time in this reading that we've seen Peter was at a distance. I think it's important that when you're going through trials and you're experiencing difficult, traumatic times, that you draw nearer to Christ than keeping your distance. Because he never moves. We usually move away from him when things happen. And things that may cause us to move away are anxiety, fear, doubt, you name it. But it's so important for us to still talk to him, call out to him, cry out to him, ask questions. You know, some of the best psalms are when David was out there questioning, "Lord, why is this happening?" You know, a lot of David's psalms go from questioning or crying out, but then he remembering what God has done for him in the past. And then by the end of the psalm, he's praising him. So now, of course, Jesus has given up the ghost. And we're leading up to the perfect Sunday. Now, there is a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. So he had not approved of this crucifixion. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. So he was a believer. He didn't want to have anything to do with killing Jesus. Going to Pilate, so back here comes Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut into the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. So that would have been Saturday for us, as the Sabbath. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Okay, I'm going to pause here. The spices and perfumes were because, of course, as the body decomposes, it's not going to be a pleasant smelling. So those were to put in the wrappings that they had wrapped Jesus in. So give me 1 second. I'll be back. We'll finish up with the perfect Sunday. Okay, I'm back. So Jesus has been laid in the tomb. Now I'm starting from Luke 24, verse 1. And once again, this is the NIV, New International Version, sorry. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again? Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, so there's no longer 12 because Judas is not with them anymore, and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Wow. Okay. So I guess everybody forgot. Peter, however. Here we go. Here's Peter again. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, first of all, you got to be scared to be stepping down into a sepulcher, a tomb like that, and then for there to be no body, and the clothes, the linens that he was wrapped in are gone, are just laying there, no body. So, yeah, I'd be wondering what had happened as well. So, yeah, that's crazy. So now we go to, jump up to verse 36 in Luke 24. So while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, the disciples, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do your doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And that's, of course, he was showing them the nail prints. And while they still did not believe because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" I love that. Jesus was a little hungry. He'd been through an ordeal there on Friday for sure. "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, verse 44, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." That's one thing I love about God's word is he doesn't get things wrong. When he says something, it's going to happen. It's not like it might happen or could possibly. No, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in his time. And when he says it, that's the amazing thing about God and his word. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Verse 50. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. You know, one thing that encourages me when I read about the disciples being witnesses of Jesus' resurrection and how he was now empowering them to use the testimony of the witness of seeing his resurrection, they went from being scared men hiding out in a room after his crucifixion to empower disciples and apostles that went all over the world sharing the truth of his death and resurrection. You know, I feel privileged and humbled and honored to have the opportunity to have the platform to share what God has done in my life and hope that it is a testimony of encouragement and inspiration to those who read my books and those who listen to what I share on the podcast or read what I post on the website. It gives me such great purpose and hope to share hope and encouragement to those who read, listen, and what I have to share and what God has put in my heart. So basically, Easter means so much to me because without Jesus' death and resurrection, I don't have hope. Now I can have hope, and you can have hope too if you want to accept him into your heart as your Lord and Savior. A lot of people know about Jesus, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's my prayer that you will make a commitment to have a relationship with him. Ask him to come into your heart and save you and to live for him going forward. Doesn't mean that he won't have you doing things that you love, but they'll be for his glory. Like, I always loved writing, wanted to write, but now I get such joy about writing and sharing what he has done in my life and how he can help other people and what he wants to do in their lives as well. So as we celebrate Easter this Sunday, it's my prayer that you will remember what Jesus has done and thank him for that, and examine your relationship with him. You know, do you just know about him? Are you just honoring him because it's habit and it's Easter Sunday? But do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Because your internal life depends on it. It's so important for you to have that, because tomorrow is not promised. I do want to thank you for tuning in to the pleasingtothepotter.com podcast. I pray that you were blessed by this dramatic reading. I hope it was dramatic enough for you, but I tried. Pray that you were blessed by this reading today, the words of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. If you have any questions or want to know more, you go to my website, pleasingtothepotter.com. There's lots of information on the blog, on the website. There's several episodes that I share the truths that God has put in my heart that you can be encouraged, whether it's about faith or prayer. Also, I have a new book coming out called The Unleash the Power of Prayer in Your Life, A Power That Transforms Lives. It's a follow-up to my award-winning book on the power of prayer, a study guide that can kind of take you deeper into prayer and examine your prayer life and even enhance your prayer life and help you have a stronger and better relationship with the Lord. Thank you again for listening. Pray that you are blessed with this podcast today. Have a great week. Keep your eyes on Christ, and I'll talk to you soon. God bless.